I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is Dukes and Bell. And last week, when we saw this story from Jim Trotter, I think everybody was kind of like, whoa, the NFL owners are going to do what? And then yesterday, they had this virtual owners meeting. And some things came out of it, some things did not. And we wanted to get Jim on the show. He's one of the best writers, one of the best guys to cover the NFL. He's done it a very long time. Jim, thanks for jumping back on with us here on the show. How are you?
No, I'm good. How are you all?
Man, we're hanging in there. Just trying to understand what the hell these owners are thinking. First and foremost, just to go back, the Rooney Rule's been in place in the NFL since 03. And obviously you had, Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith playing a Super Bowl just 3 years later. But then, you fast forward, I think over the next 14 years, you had limited hires. And now we're to a point where the NFL owners think that this is something that needs to be addressed. But, Jim, did they really address it?
Yes and no. I think on the league office side, they addressed it. What's happening here is people are conflating the two things, the Rooney Rule and the resolutions that were presented. They're separate. The Rooney Rule is something that the league can impose. It does not require a vote of the owners. And so with that power, what the league did yesterday is say, okay, we're going to enhance the Rooney Rule to try and get some movement here. So what did they do? They doubled the number of candidates, minority candidates, that a team is required at a minimum to interview for a GM or head coaching position. They also said, we are going to apply the Rooney Rule to the coordinator position for the first time. Those are two major steps. They also created a fellowship where now each of the 32 teams will have a minority fellow in the quarterback room. And that's significant because what do we know? Owners in recent years have been seeking head coaches from the offensive side, and particularly those who work with the quarterback. So that was significant. The league also created a program now where teams are going to have to submit reports about their diversity within their organization from top to bottom. That's significant so they can chart the numbers. So those things I thought were significant. On the resolution side, they also passed a resolution that now prevents teams from blocking assistant coaches for interviewing for coordinator positions. That's huge because, as we know, owners often want head coaches who have coordinator experience. Well, now clubs won't be able to block assistants anymore from having that upward mobility. So the one thing that did not pass, it was tabled, as you mentioned, was the resolution about draft choice enhancement if a team were to hire a person of color for a GM position or a head coaching position. And I believe that what really happened at this point is that, look, the owners I talked to just weren't ready to deal with this at the moment. As one said to me, we've got a pandemic going on. We don't know if we're going to play. If we do, we don't know what that's going to look like. People are being fired. People are being furloughed. Let's deal with this at another time where we have more time to discuss these ideas. And so ultimately, I think the league made the smart choice in tabling the resolution. Otherwise, I think it would have been voted down.
And that's the thing, is Jim Trotter joins the man who was really dialed in on the West Coast, amongst everything else. I want to talk about some of the other teams we're going to see this year. But, Jim, we just said the optics on that were so bad. Here's a small carrot on a stick to go hire, to do the right thing. And that would seem like a harebrained scheme. The things you talked about, that's change we can believe in. The rest just sounded like window dressing.
Well, look, let's understand, too. I felt the same way you felt, that obviously when I first heard about it, I said, man, the optics are really bad because it looks like what you're trying to do is bribe owners to hire minorities. And when I talked to minority head coaches, past and current, as well as aspiring minority head coaches and personnel people, they had pretty much the same reaction. But I have to be honest and say I've also heard from some who have said, look, I don't like the resolution, but the key here is to get your foot in the door and have an opportunity then to show that you can do the job and hopefully help others along the way, as opposed to saying I don't like it and not having that opportunity to be a head coach. So there's a difference of opinion there among some, but the vast majority clearly did not like it because, one, it made the league look bad in terms of making it look like it was trying to bribe owners, and two, these coaches and aspiring coaches felt like there was going to be a scarlet letter, you know, on their chest that the only reason they got the job was because of the color of their skin. But let me say this to you, too. Recently, I went back. I was trying to figure out league history in terms of flashpoints where the league has had to deal with this diversity issue as it relates to coaches. And in the modern era, it pretty much starts for me where I see it in 87, where Bill Walsh, then the coach of the 49ers, he had won two Super Bowls, so he had the clout to take on the NFL culture. And what he saw is that minority coaches from the college ranks were not being allowed or were having the door shut in their faces when trying to jump to the NFL. So he decided, I'm going to bring in minority coaches from college and high school, as well as former players, to spend training camp with us to try and expose them to what we do, as well as get them exposure to other clubs. And I asked Carmen Policy, who was then the vice president of the 49ers, I called him over the weekend, and said, what was Bill's mindset? What was going on? And he said, what Bill told them, he said, look, the player ranks, the percentage of black players was growing in the league, and therefore he felt that you needed balance between the coaching staff and the locker room to deal with that. And so you needed more minority coaches, not just for the sake of race, but for the sake that they're qualified, and one, it's good business because everyone could relate to each other. You could interact. There was an understanding. And so he felt it was good business from a competitive standpoint. He did it. Well, what do we know? Over the next 14 years, there were five African-Americans hired as head coaches after there never having been one in the modern era of the NFL. And also, the league then adopted that program for every team. And since then, some of the graduates include Mike Tomlin, Anthony Lynn, Marvin Lewis, Herm Edwards, Raheem Morris, Hugh Jackson. So it had an impact. But by 2003, it had started to recede. And that's when the NFL went with the Rooney Rule to try and address those numbers. And again, we saw incremental increases to the point of 2-3 years ago, we had as many as 8 coaches of color. But now the number has receded to 4. And so, again, the league felt there's something drastic that needs to be done. And it just so happens that's how the resolution for draft choice enhancement came about.
That's why he's one of the best. It's Jim Trotter joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, talking about the new adjustments to the Rooney Rule, and I'm using that word loosely, but I agree with you. Some of this is very good, and hopefully it does what it needs to do. Let me ask you this question that's been asked to me. How do you impress upon the owners who usually have hired someone that looks like themselves and also have some of the same cultural and social experiences? And I don't know how to answer that question. Is that just about exposure, Jim? Is that just about putting these qualified candidates of color in front of them and having them around them more? How do you change that aspect of this?
No, that's part of it, unquestionably. But let's go back to a more fundamental level when it comes to hiring head coaches. As Tony Dungy said to me last year, owners don't know how to hire head coaches because what happens every hiring cycle? The first thing we hear is, who are the hot candidates? That should be the last question that owners are asking in the process. The first question should be, what am I looking for in a head coach? Do I want someone with experience as a head coach, or do I want someone fresh? Do I want someone older or younger? Do I want someone from offense, defense, or special teams? Do I want someone who is a delegator, or do I want someone who's hands-on? Do I want someone who's a teacher, or do I want someone who's a motivator? Until you've answered questions like that, you should not be asking who are the hot candidates, because if you don't have a clear understanding of what you're looking for, what you're going to get is what we've gotten since 2000, an average of 7 head coaching changes per year, which shows that owners are very good at firing but not very good at hiring. The other recommendation I would make is that owners need to stop using search firms. Now, why do I say that?
Thank you.
These search firms go out they don't know much about NFL culture. So what do? They go to NFL people and they say, hey, who are the guys we should be looking at? Tell me about them, et cetera, et cetera. Well, think about if an owner were to do that legwork himself or herself. He or she would have a much better understanding before they ever sat down at the table with these candidates about who they are, what they're about, and it would help in terms of the comfort level of hiring that person. And why do I use the word comfort? Because that's what I hear from many minority coaches and personnel people, that they believe that NFL owners simply are not comfortable with people who do not look like them, come from the same cultural background or societal background. So I presented that to Katie Blackburn a year ago. At the time, she was the chair of the league's diversity committee. And I asked her about this issue, and she dismissed it and said that's not a problem. And while it might not be a problem for her team, the Bengals, it is for some other teams. But my point is, when she dismissed that sort of out of hand, what it said to me is there's a fundamental problem right there. These men are trying to tell you what they believe the problem is, and you are telling them they're wrong. That's a problem.
Great stuff from Jim Trotter. That's one of those things we talk about all the time, Carl and I, about like the Corn Fairies of the world. We always think it's more about covering your ass with the EOE than actually trying to find a right head coach. Jim Trotter's with us, guys. We only got a few more minutes, so we want to cover a few more things with him from SI. Does a fantastic job. Follow him on Twitter as well. Real quick, because you're a West Coast guy, a couple of things. I'll go rapid fire. You have any insight to what's up with Todd Gurley or what Falcon fans can expect from this guy physically this year?
No. How's that?
Okay, that's easy. Now you covered it. You said enough. Secondly, why haven't the Rams paid this man his money? I mean, Greinke's worth like millions or billions, for crying out loud. You know, Todd still hasn't gotten his money yet. A lot of people are saying, what's up with that?
Come on, fellas. You guys are above my pay grade with these questions. I mean, the one thing I never do is try and get in a man's pockets or an owner's pockets, so I don't know what the deal is there. I don't know. It's strange. I mean, if it's owed to him, he should be paid it, is my belief. And I have not seen his contract to know the language in it. But, yeah, if the contract says he's owed the money, pay the man the money.
Jim, I want to ask you about college coaches and the college ranks and how this plays into the NFL.
Sure.
And from that standpoint of – I'll give you an example. And, by the way, this is not a knock on any of these coaches. Let's take Ryan Day. Ryan Day gets the job when Urban Meyer steps away and has all this stuff that happens at Ohio State. And I don't know if they had other people they were interested in, if they just wanted to keep it in-house, but we see this time and time again. And just like the NFL, you may have guys who are ready and able for the job but don't get an opportunity to either interview or even get talked or spoken to. You could use, Oklahoma with Lincoln Riley when he stepped in. We see that time and time again in college football. How much does that play into setting up guys for the future and having these opportunities maybe at the NFL level?
Oh, there's no question it's a factor. I've only seen it happen once in my history of covering the NFL, and that was when Tony Dungy stepped down and Jim Caldwell took over. And that's not to say that Jim Caldwell wasn't qualified. He obviously was and went to a Super Bowl. But it was the only time I had ever seen a succession plan where a man of color was going to follow another man of color. So there's no question it's an issue. The other unspoken thing about the NFL as it relates to head coaching hires and whatnot is nepotism. And what you'll see is older white coaches who are ready to retire staying on, taking jobs simply for the sake of having their sons hired on those clubs and to get them an entry point into the NFL. And we've seen that time and again in the NFL. So, look, nepotism and what you're talking about, those are all real in terms of impacting the process, again, of leveling the playing field.
Jim, we only got about 30 seconds left. One of the names we talked about, Carl and I were discussing the Giants, which was kind of like the trigger on this whole thing. Eric Bieniemy, coming from that offense, just seems like the logical fit to develop a young quarterback. Why can't Bieniemy get the next big gig?
No, that's the one that everyone is shaking their head about right now, as well as what happened to Jim Caldwell in Detroit a couple of years ago, which I know we don't have time for. But when you look at it, if the two people who preceded Eric Bieniemy in his position, meaning Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy, could get head coaching jobs without calling plays simply because they were the offensive coordinator off Andy Reid's tree, and Eric Bieniemy has the same position as a league MVP 2 years ago and a Super Bowl MVP last season, and he gets passed over for Joe Judge, when Eric checked all of the boxes and Joe Judge, in terms of the recent trends in hiring, did not check those boxes, That's a problem, and that's the one that really got the attention of many coaches and personnel people I talked to and said it just isn't fair.
Jim, great work on this. We love your stuff. Continue to do great in-depth stuff like this and keeping us informed, man. Stay safe, and we wish you the best. Thanks again.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.